Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
This morning on this Father's Day, we'd like to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And this morning, just like we did on Mother's Day, we gave a present to all the women. Then today we're giving a present to all the men, even if you're not a father. So every man gets a present. We never discriminate here at Harmony Baptist Church. And they've got some good gifts. We also have gifts for the father with the most children, the oldest father, youngest father, and so we'll be doing that this morning as well, as soon as the service is concluded, so please stick around for that. We are preaching this morning a Father's Day message on a father's responsibility. A father's responsibility. And we'll be starting in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, and then moving to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And then finally, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, but a father's responsibility. So, beginning in Colossians 3 and verse 21, I'm going to read the verse and then we'll pray. Colossians 3:21, the Word of God says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone here doesn't know you as Savior, that you would convict them and save their souls. And I do pray that you would bless the service now and let us get what we need out of your word. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So Colossians 3 talks about quite a few different subjects. The whole book of Colossians is about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. But when we get down to verse 18, it talks about the duty of wives. And then verse 19 talks about the duty of husbands towards their wives. Verse 20 talks about the duty of children towards their parents. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And verse 21 talks about the duty of fathers towards their children. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So we're going to talk about that for a moment. The word "provoke" in this verse, Mount says that it means to irritate, to exasperate. And A.T. Robertson says that the word means to nag as a habit. So the word "provoke" basically means, it doesn't mean a one-time thing. It means if you're constantly nagging your children, trying to get them to do what you want, you're irritating them, you're wearing them out, you're exasperating them. And the Bible says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So we're not to nag. We're not to constantly be provoking our children to the point to where they get angry and then get discouraged. The Life Application Study Bible says, "Children must be handled with care. They need firm discipline administered in love. Parents should not aggravate them by nagging, deriding, or destroying their self-respect so that they quit trying." And sometimes parents can do that. Now, I think of these verses as well and we're going to talk about this at the end, but when we have a new convert, we have a son in the faith, we have a child in the faith, somebody that's been saved, a lot of times we make the mistake with a new Christian of nagging them about every little thing and trying to correct every little thing to the point to where we discourage them so much that they quit trying. They give up because it's overwhelming to them. And so we both with our children and with new Christians, because the Bible says a new believer is a babe in Christ. So with a new Christian, we have to be careful that we allow grace and we allow room to grow, and that we don't just nitpick and nag about every little thing, lest they get discouraged and give up. I want to read this quote here from Matthew Henry. This is kind of a long quote, but he's got some good insight into this verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Let not your authority over them be exercised with rigor and severity, but with kindness and gentleness, lest you raise their passions and discourage them in their duty. And by holding the reins too tight, you make them fly out with greater fierceness. Now, we see this sometimes. He's giving an illustration of reins of a horse. But we see this sometimes where kids are never allowed to do anything, and then as soon as they get out of the home, then they just go off the deep end. And so that's what he's talking about there, not holding the reins too tight. He goes on to say, the bad temper, an example of imprudent parents, often proves a great hindrance to their children and a stumbling block in their way. Ephesians 6:4. And we talked about that in Sunday school, but, you know, if dad loses his temper all the time and comes home and yells and screams and throws stuff across the room, don't be surprised when your kids do that and have problems with temper. And the way that dad acts affects the children. And I'm going to have to remember that, because when we get these children, I've got to remember I can't yell at my wife like I do and throw things at her. Now, really, I don't throw things at my wife because I'm afraid of her. I'm scared to death she might hurt me. But no, the way we act affects the children. Now, he goes on to say, and I think this is really good. He says, and it is by the tenderness of parents and the dutifulness of children that God ordinarily furnishes His church with a seed to serve Him and propagates religion from age to age. So God's program, God's plan, is for parents to get saved and bring their children up in the church, and for the kids to get saved, and that's how the church grows, and that's how the gospel of Jesus Christ is propagated and grows and spreads by doing that. Remember, before there was the church, there was the home, and the home is the bedrock of society, but it's also the bedrock of the church and the way that the church grows. And so we are not to provoke our children to wrath or anger. Now, Ephesians 6:4, this is another verse that basically says the same thing. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, talking about the family, and this is the father's duty towards children. Don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the word nurture, Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, has a rather long definition of the Greek word that's translated nurture, and this is what he says, and this is a very thorough definition. Nurture, the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals and employs for this purpose sometimes commands and admonitions and sometimes reproofs and punishment. It also includes the training and care of the body. And so he's talking about the whole training of children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the whole training, their entire training and admonition of the Lord. And we have a duty as parents to do that. And for the new Christian, it is our duty as spiritual fathers, as a church, it is our duty to train new converts. You know, the Bible again says that a new Christian is a babe in Christ. Now, it's amazing that we think people should get saved and should know everything. It's kind of silly, isn't it? I mean, when you were a baby, you didn't know how to walk. Somebody had to help you learn to walk. They had to teach you to eat solid foods. They had to do that whole thing. They had to teach you to talk. Yet somebody gets saved, and we lead somebody to Christ at their doorstep, and then if they don't show up to get baptized on Sunday, we say, well, they didn't really get saved. Well, they're a baby. What do they know? You say, well, when I got saved, I needed to do all that stuff. That's because you were raised in the church, okay? We got to think. A person that's not been brought up in the church has to be taught. I come from a background of missionaries and people working in third world countries. And when you're a missionary and you go get somebody that's never been in church, that's never entered a Baptist church, they don't know anything about it. They have to be taught. They may have been baptized when they were a baby, an infant, but they don't understand scriptural baptism. You have to teach them. You have to teach them to read their Bible. They may have been taught never to read their Bible, just to listen to what the priest says. And you have to teach them to read their Bible for themselves. And we have to teach. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the word admonition, Mount says it means a warning, an admonition. So it's a type of instruction where you're warning somebody. You're saying, you know, you shouldn't do this thing. This is what the Lord wants you to do. And Tyndale actually translated it like this. The Tyndale Bible came before the King James. If you know anything, we've talked a little bit about Bible history here before, but if you know Bible history, then it was the first English New Testament translated out of the Greek during the 1500s. And Tyndale was actually, at that time, it was illegal to do what he did. So Tyndale was hunted down and burned at the stake, strangled to death and burned at the stake for giving us the first English Bible. This is how he translated it. And ye fathers, move not your children to wrath, but bring them up unto the nurture and information of the Lord. Now that's interesting, right? Information. Now, how does a child learn the admonition of the Lord? How do they get warned about things? They are given information about the Lord. They are taught about the Lord. And we need to teach our children the Bible. We need to teach our children to read the Bible. And it's not the first duty of the church to teach your children. It's your duty at home. You've got to teach your children the Bible. And if your children are not in church now, they're grown and you're older, it's not your responsibility. You can't make an adult go to church. You can't do that, but you still, as a parent, need to be teaching them about the Lord and giving them information about the Lord, informing them and saying, look, we need to be in church and this is why and this is what the Bible says. And so the same thing with a new convert. We've got to teach young Christians, give them information so they can learn how to obey the Lord, and that is an admonition as well. So, Ephesians 6:4. Now, the final verse that we're going to look at is 1 Timothy 1:2. Now, somebody might say this morning, I don't have any children. Just like my wife and I currently, we have no children. We haven't been able to have children. And so, can a man without children be a father? Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was not married. And he didn't have any children. And yet, he says to Timothy, unto Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Paul called Timothy his son in the faith. So we as believers in Jesus Christ, and this applies to women as well as men, we as believers in Jesus Christ, when you lead somebody to Christ and you disciple that person, you become a spiritual father to them or a spiritual mother to them. And so we are to take people. Now, Paul did not lead Timothy to Christ. Timothy got saved through the influence of his mother and grandmother, the Bible tells us. But Paul did disciple Timothy. Paul trained Timothy to preach. He trained him to study his Bible. He trained him on Bible doctrine. And so when you take a young Christian and you teach them, then you become a spiritual parent to them, and they become your child in the faith. And so Sunday school teachers can have that influence, and anybody that disciples a young man or a young lady can have that influence. And it is our duty. Now, I'm going to talk to the men here for a second. Just like on a Mother's Day, I talked to the women and told the men, you know, they had a day off. So I'm going to talk to the men now. And the women here, you can play video games on your phones or whatever. But I'm going to talk to the men here for a second. Not really. Please don't do that. But anyway, you men in the church, each one of you men has a duty to lead people to Christ and to disciple people. Every man here. Every man here. A lot of times we want to leave that duty up to the women because we think, well, the women ought to train the children and they ought to be the spiritual influence. But the men here have a duty to do that.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I preach to myself as well. You as a man have a responsibility, and I as a man have a responsibility to disciple people, to train people, to take some young people and train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And let's not vacate our responsibility as men and just say, well, it's my job to come here and sit on a pew. Let's not vacate that responsibility that God has given us. Now, parents, I'll speak to both the men and the women. Parents, if you have children in the home, it's your responsibility to teach them the Bible. Don't just leave it up to the church. You teach them the Bible. You teach them about God. You raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that they will, when they're older, so that they will not only get in church, but so that they'll also teach their children. It is our responsibility as parents, and it starts in the home. God uses fathers in a wonderful way. God takes the influence of a father and can shape a little boy and a little girl and can use that influence to make mighty men and women of God. And it is our responsibility as parents and also as spiritual parents to shape people into what Christ wants them to be by getting them in the Bible, because the Bible will change their lives. And your example, too. We've got to set a good example. So let's do that. This Father's Day, be encouraged. Be encouraged because God is your Heavenly Father if you've been saved. And let's try and take the same love and the same influence that we have received from God as He gives us grace and He gives us discipline when we need it. And let's try and give that to our children. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for letting us be in Your house this morning. I do pray if anyone here does not know You as Savior, that today will be the day when they turn to You and trust You to forgive their sins and to save their soul. I do pray that You would just work a miraculous work in this place and help us to be the fathers and the mothers and the parents that we ought to be. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.